You're listening to Talking Heads on Manx Radio. I'm Stu Peters, and on today's programme, we're continuing our coverage brought to you by PDMS as the 2011 general election draws ever nearer. We're joined in the studio now by Laurie Hooper, who's one of six candidates standing in the two-seat constituency of Ramsey. Good afternoon, Laurie, and welcome to Talking Heads.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Now, I'm about to get your name wrong, but you prefer it to pronounce Laurie
rather than
Laurie.
Yeah, either one is fine. I'm quite easy. Either.
I'm the same. I'll take my name anyway that people give it to me, as long as they don't call me fat or old. Tell me a little bit about yourself, Laurie.
Well, I'm 24. I live in Douglas with my wife, Rachel. I moved to the island in about 1999, I think it was, with my family. I lived in Kirkmichael for most of that time, but I went to Ramsey Grammar School. It's where I grew up, spent all of my time, really, in Ramsey. I went to university, spent 3 years studying history and psychology, came back. I went back again, did a master's degree in history, Manx history, actually, more specifically. And now I'm back here working for an accountancy firm in Douglas.
Where did you go to uni?
Down in Keele, which is in Stoke.
Near Stoke. Yeah, good. Okay, so, well, you've got... it is an obvious question. Why would you live in Douglas and work in Douglas and want to represent Ramsey?
That's actually a really easy one to answer, actually. I quite like that you start with an easy one. It's always good. Basically, what it is, like I said, I grew up in Ramsey. It's where I went to school. It's where most of my experiences are. So I really feel a close connection with Ramsey as a town. My parents live there now as well, so it's home, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Came back from university and obviously got a job in Douglas, and for us it was convenient just to rent a property in town, just so we can walk to work. It's nice for us.
Good stuff.
Neither of us really want to stay living in Douglas. So it is our plan, especially the wife. She really wants to move out into what she considers the real Isle of Man.
I agree with her. I think Ramsey is a smashing place. The other obvious question is that at 24, do you think you've got sufficient life experience? I mean, from what you've said, you've spent most of your life so far in education of one form or another.
Yeah.
Have you got enough life experience to be able to help people and to look at national politics?
Well, I think the easiest way to counter that is to say that over here at 16 you're allowed to vote. So turn around and saying that at 16 you have enough life experience to make the decision for yourself. Who do you want to represent you? I think that in itself is saying at 16 you've got enough experience to be able to represent other people.
Do you think so?
I think that's true enough. If you've got the ability to exercise your vote, you must have the ability to kind of act on if someone were to vote for you on the flip side. And going back to most of my life being spent in education, I mean, I've been working now in Douglas for 2 years on the island. I mean, even though I was in full-time education, I was working on the island every time I came home.
Yes.
So I have been working pretty much since I was 17 over here.
Okay, and what do you think you could bring to government? I mean, you're an accountant, I know, but haven't we got enough bean counters in government already?
I think you're probably right. I think, to be fair, that is a common misconception of accountants in the first place. Most of my job is actually involves interacting with people and not just working the numbers like you'd expect.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely really helped me develop sort of people skills and the kind of things that I think you'd need. But I think the main thing I really want to bring to government is just a new approach. You know, I think that the most important thing any government, any elected representative can do is just represent the people that have voted them in. And I think it's very hard to do that if all you do is once every 5 years you spend 2 months campaigning.
Yes.
I think there's got to be a constant stream of interaction with your MHK and the local population.
Do you think the local population actually want that, though?
I think a lot of them do. I don't think they don't want to make every decision themselves, otherwise what's the point in electing someone?
Absolutely.
But I do think that they want to be kept informed and updated, at least.
Yeah.
You know, the regular newsletters, just the availability so you can drop in and say hi and have a chat. I think that's necessary.
Okay, you say a new approach. I mean, that's very media friendly to say that we need a new approach to politics. Give me some examples of your new approach.
Well, like I said, that in itself I think is what I've just described. I mean, If I do get elected, my intention is to make sure I'm regularly available, set periods, well-publicised periods of time in Ramsey where I'm going to be just sitting there, just available for people to come and talk.
Hardly new, though, Laurie, is it?
Well, I've been here for quite a long time, and I'm not really aware of anything that happens on the Isle of Man. I'm not really aware of what happens in Douglas East, where I live. You know, I've now started getting some mail through the post from candidates, but in the 2 years I've been here, I've not received a single local newsletter saying, this is what's been happening, this is what government's been doing for you, this is where we're planning on going, if you want to discuss this, come and... Nothing like that. that has happened for me.
But isn't that down to us, the electorate? That if we do have questions of our politicians, it's easy enough to get in touch with them, isn't it?
Yeah, I think on some level you're right, but I think equally it is the responsibility of the politician to make sure that people are aware that they're available, that they're aware that they have this really ease of access. I think that's important. It's a two-way street. You can't rely entirely on people, on the electorate.
But hopefully for the next 5 years, our politicians are going to be fairly busy charting a clear course for the Isle of Man through choppy waters. And they've got the media for that, to get that message over. Very simply, you know, isn't what you're suggesting more like granny farming, where you're just sort of coming around, knocking on doors, sipping cups of tea with people just to keep yourself in with them?
See, I think what the difference there is that you have the media that tell you things as they're happening, which is great. You need to know things to, sort of when they're developing. But what you don't often get from the media is the reasoning behind government decisions. So when the government decide, right, this is what we've done today, the media will report, this has happened. Great. But the media won't be able to report why this has happened, why it's been allowed to happen, or why the government have chosen to let this happen or make that decision.
I myself find that
I don't think you get enough of that from our government at the moment.
All right. Tell me a little bit more about Ramsey then, which is your chosen constituency. You say that the place needs more promotion as a place of business. Why would anybody want to relocate a business to Ramsey if they're already in Douglas, which is effectively the capital of the Isle of Man, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily talking about relocating, although I mean there are definite reasons that you want to be working up in Ramsey. I think what I'm really talking about is the island is looking to grow. It needs to grow in order to fill this massive funding gap that we have. We need more revenues generated. We need more people over here living and working, more companies working. And my real question is, why does that all have to happen in Douglas? You know, if you work in Douglas, you're going to spend most of your time and most of your money in Douglas. It's you know, you go out on your lunch, you go to the high street, that's where you do some most of your shopping, I'd imagine. So all the money then stays sort of in Douglas. And there's no incentive then for the government or for any other businesses to want to open up in Ramsey. You've got a lot of shops in Douglas, a lot of businesses in Douglas, so obviously new businesses will go, actually, that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
But I think it needs to be spread out more. We definitely need places like, it'll definitely be good to revitalise the high street in Ramsey.
But
definitely.
Isn't that down to commerce to do that rather than government to do it? Because it's the field of dreams scenario, isn't it? If you build it, they will come. If people in Ramsey, if businesses in Ramsey make themselves attractive enough, people will come. It shouldn't be down to government to actually force people unnaturally to go to areas that they
I agree that there shouldn't be any element of coercion in there, but they should definitely incentivise businesses that come to the island. They should at least give them the option. Look at Ramsey. Look at this as a place where you want to come and you want to set up. You know, that's definitely a good thing that needs to start happening more and more.
You see, I can empathise with your point of view. I just think it might be a little bit flawed in that, I mean, I was born in Manchester and I always felt all my life that the UK was very London-centric. If it didn't happen in London, it didn't really happen as far as the news and the media was concerned, certainly. And all the big decisions were taken down there, all the headquarters were down there, and Manchester and the other areas of the UK were overlooked. So I can translate that into Manx terms, where Douglas seems to get everything.
Yeah.
But isn't that just natural in the evolution of a country?
I think part of it is, but then I don't think it's right that the rest of the country is then overlooked. Kind of, you can't really expand Douglas at the expense of the rest of the island. We are an island community, and by that I mean that we are all in this together.
Yes.
I don't think it's right that Douglas gets, like I said, all the investment, or most of the investment, and most of the generation of income and that kind
but
of
it's
thing.
Where most of the people are. You know, 30,000 people here compared to how many in Ramsey?
Yeah, that is quite true. It's about 7,000 people, I think, in Ramsey. It's not a, as I said, you're
what
right.
What I'm saying is that I wonder if it is some sort of a fiendish plot by the Council of Ministers to try and disadvantage Ramsey, or if it is just the way that these things work out.
I don't think it's intentional. Don't get me wrong. I don't think the government is intentionally, you know, ignoring other parts of the island, but I think the government could intentionally try and promote more of the island, just more than they already are doing.
Somebody's said a couple of times on Talking Heads, because we talk about things like tourism quite often, and somebody said that in a recent discussion that we're having about tourism, that Peel maybe is becoming the holiday destination for the Isle of Man, in that they've got the fantastic beach there, and it is the sort of place that you would go for a beach holiday. Do you think that other areas around the Isle of Man outside of Douglas maybe ought to do that, to try and find some sort of a niche, so that you would go to Port Erin for whatever it is, you would go to Peel for a bucket and spade day on the beach, you would come up to Ramsey for I don't know quite what, but you know, so is it down to the individual areas, do you think, to do more?
I think that's definitely there's definitely an element of that, and I think that's something that local government can definitely help with, especially with regards to kind of planning and that kind of thing. Like Ramsey, for example, the marina is a good example of that. Peel's got a marina which really helped revitalise Peel, and I think Ramsey's is on the same kind of lines. That kind of construction in Ramsey would help, and you're right, it would help kind of focus it, so people would then go to Ramsey to see and do these things.
So you think that the marina greenery is a good idea, clearly.
I think it could be. I think obviously you need to definitely weigh the options. You need to look at it to get all the detail right, because if it turns out that maybe most people don't want to, or it isn't a good idea, maybe you shouldn't do it. But I think from my background, yeah, I'd say it's a good idea. I think it's definitely going to help. It definitely would help Ramsey.
I can't talk to a Ramsey candidate without asking about the pier.
Oh, the pier. That's a tricky, a very divisive issue, the pier, I think.
Well, whatever you say, you're going to alienate a lot of voters. Yeah.
Exactly. No, I think it's quite good. I like having the pier in Ramsey. I think it definitely adds character to the town. It's a shame that it's been allowed to fall into such a state of disrepair, if I'm going to be honest with you. But I think something needs to be done. I think it would be better for Ramsey if we kept the pier. But equally, I'm not convinced that government is the right place to do that. I'm more leaning towards perhaps that private enterprise should be encouraged to maybe purchase or develop the pier. And it should be kept as it is, maybe turned more into a working pier, something. Like I said, they need to look at it, and need to make a serious
decision.
That's a political
answer, because you're not coming down either side of the debate on that one, really, are you? Well, I mean, but you know, who would take over the pier? Which sort of private enterprise would take over the pier?
That's it. I mean, there's always, in my experience, there's always someone out there who's willing to buy something, try and make money off it. So it could be someone who's interested in tourism to develop the pier as a place for tourists to come to. I mean, like I said, I really have. I've no myself no strong feeling on what should be done with the pier, but I really feel that something should be done.
But isn't that what politics is about? Don't the people of Ramsey have a right to look to you as a would-be politician and say, we want you to come up with some answers that we can either vote for or against you? We need you to come up with the policies on this. It's no good to say, you know, I'm prepared to listen to what people say and it would be nice, but then, you know, it's a bit wishy-washy.
Yeah, I agree, and I think people should expect that. And I think that that's a fair question to ask, to be honest, and especially with regard to things like the pier. My stated view is that we should definitely do something, yeah. But I don't think government are the right people to do it. That's where I'm coming from. I think they should be looking to do something with the pier that involves private enterprise. They should be looking out there to see, does anybody want to buy the pier? Is anyone interested in investing? Maybe government should be involved in that process, but shouldn't maybe be controlling it.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
You're listening to Talking Heads, and we're talking to Laurie Hooper, who's standing for the constituency of Ramsey, for one of the three seats in Ramsey. Let's talk a little bit about national issues. We've talked about Ramsey. Everybody that I talked to seems concerned about this big hole that's been left in our economy by the VAT bombshell. People sometimes have mentioned that they're disappointed about the reciprocal health agreement and the way that was handled. What's your view of national politics in the Isle of Man?
Well, taking those two issues you've just mentioned, the reciprocal health agreement, that shocked me a little when that ended all of a sudden. And to my mind, that's the kind of thing that government should really be communicating to the people more often, that maybe, look, this might be happening in the future. We need to be aware of this. What do you people think? Do you think it's a good idea? Should we keep it? What seemed to happen from my perspective was that it ended, and then the government went out to the people and said...
Is that fair? Because didn't the government give us 12 months' notice on that? I mean, in Jersey, it
disappeared overnight. The UK government did give us...
No, well, didn't our government actually negotiate a 12-month extension?
Expansion. Yeah, exactly. And I think they did well.
It did give us time to think about it.
I think they did well with that.
Yeah. And the other thing is that, you know, my understanding, I might be wrong, is that the UK government said, right, we're going to stop this and that's it, and there's no negotiation. So how much can you negotiate with a party who takes that point of view?
This is just to some extent, I think that is quite true, and I think we have to have a government that's willing to turn around and negotiate and fight hard for things that we need. And I think in that respect, they did pretty well keeping that agreement as it was.
What do you think about the current government? Because some people think it's great, other people have suggested it's the worst in living memory.
I see, this is where I might sit on the fence again, which is probably not the best idea. I think overall, I think they've probably done okay, but my question is that acceptable? Is it okay for us to want our elected representatives to have done okay? I don't think so. I think they should have done well. If I felt that they'd done well, I wouldn't be standing now.
Right.
But because I feel that they did okay, I think that maybe there's opportunity to do better.
But I can't think of many examples of people going out in the streets and cheering the government on. I mean, aren't we all a little bit cynical about politicians?
I think so, and I think that's part of the problem in our national politics on the island, is that we do have this approach where we don't seem to trust politicians. People equate the word politician with other things which aren't very positive.
They've brought it on themselves, though, haven't they?
In some respects, yeah, I think they have, and I think that's definitely an important thing, is to rebuild the trust people have in our government. And I think the only real way you can do that is by increasing the amount of communication that government has with people, so that people are more involved, or at least feel more involved in the decisions and the process, so that people then feel they can trust government to make the right decisions for them.
That sounds good in principle, I have to admit. It sounds great. For two things. First of all, I don't know whether or not people really want to be that involved in politics on a day-to-day basis and, you know, told all the time what's happening, what might happen, what might not happen.
Yeah.
They kind of vote you in, if they do vote you in, to do that for them, don't they?
Yeah, I think they vote you in to represent them, to make the decision at the end of the day. That's what they elect you to do, because it's very hard to cram 70,000 people into the House of Keys.
And the other worry that I've got is that, you know, everybody's talking about more transparency and more openness in government. Yeah. Isn't that another thing where we vote you guys in to deal with all these matters so that we don't have to really see them particularly?
I think the important thing with that is, at the end of the day, government is spending taxpayer money. None of the money government has is made itself. It doesn't generate wealth. So essentially, you elect people to make decisions on where to spend money. But then I think you definitely have a right to know where that money is being spent, and that it's being used wisely, and that it's being used in sort of efficiently.
Yeah, but I mean, we've got access to the pink book. We've got access to all those figures, haven't we, to see where the money's being spent. And inevitably, some people will always say, oh, well, they shouldn't have spent that on that. They should have done this instead.
That's
democracy.
Yeah,
isn't it?
That'll happen. I think you're always going to get people that are divided over where the money should be spent and whether it has gone in the right places. But I think the important thing there is it's quite detailed information that you're given, that you have access to, and it takes a lot of time to kind of trawl through it and figure it out for yourself.
Yes.
I think quite often it would be better if the government explained a lot more what it's doing and where the money's going. It's important that people feel they know that government is spending their money in the right places.
We could end up with a government for 5 years doing nothing but explaining itself and justifying what it's done.
That is a risk.
And isn't what we need for the next 5 years a strong government with a mandate from the people to, you know, forge ahead and to try and sort the other man's problems out once and for all?
Yeah, I agree with you, but I think you can't look to the future without turning around and making sure you have a very strong base from which to launch that. You know, you need that. The next government has to be strong. It has to be willing to make tough decisions, and that's great. But the problem is, you're not looking 5 years down the line, you're looking 10 or 20, in that you don't want this situation to arise again. And so the best way of doing that is to change, in essence, change slightly the approach that we have to government on the island.
Everybody seems to think that we're going to have 5 years of having to save money. How are we going to do that? Where would we start?
I think the main thing that I would look at is capital expenditure, by the big projects the government has running. I think that's where you need to look at value for money.
Because, so stop building schools?
No, not stop building schools as such, but looking at making sure that you're paying the right amount of money for the school. So you need the quality of work, but you also need to make sure it's not costing you an arm and a leg. And the important thing is to make sure they're not spending money they don't have. So when the government is making these decisions, it really needs to look at, do we really need this as a community? Does the island need a new school? Does the island need a new incinerator? Yeah. Whatever it is they're building, they need to look at it and make the hard choice. We do need it, we need to spend the money on it, or we don't need it, it can wait.
And do you think that that's been the case over the last 5 years? Do you think that we've spent money on schemes that we didn't need to do?
I think we have spent money on things that maybe we shouldn't have spent money on.
Give me examples.
A good example is the OFT inquiry into the steam packet. They've wasted a lot of money on that. I say wasted because we're not getting the report.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing the government needs to look at seriously, and look at it and go, right, we're going to have this produced. At the end of the day, is it going to be of any benefit to people? Well, clearly not. Couldn't they have made that decision before they spent the money?
We've all got a lot of questions about that particular report. We're not getting many answers about it.
Exactly, so. And that's what I mean about more open communication with people.
I have the impression that's a story that might run on for some considerable time, to be honest. What else? Yeah. I mean, what about things like Richmond Hill? Because that's the one that most people say, what a waste of £3 million that was.
Yeah, they're fixing the road, then fixing the road.
Yes.
Yeah, things like that as well. You need to make... This is what I'm talking about. The spending the money is fine if it needs to be done. There is nothing wrong with government spending money that it has on things that need to be done. But when those things aren't done right the first time around, you begin to question, well, did they really employ the right people to fix the road? Did they have the right approach?
You see, I start from, and I've said this before, I start from a potentially naive situation of trusting our elected politicians. I think that, you know, the House of Keys is full, or Tynwald is full of people who want to do the very best that they can for the Isle of Man, and they don't go in there and think, you know, what can we mess up today, which seems to be the perception from outside.
Yeah.
And if these things go wrong, I often think that there might well be a reason why things always cost more in the Isle of Man, why our hospital costs the same as three hospitals in the UK. There must be reasons behind these things. So are you not concerned that if you're elected, all of a sudden, all these things you'll find the answers to and then think, oh, well, that's why it happened, and lose your fire a wee bit?
See, I don't know, because if as you say, that happens and you turn up in government and, oh, actually, there's a reason why these things have happened, I think that's fine. But I think the people need to know those reasons, because then they can make their own minds up and to decide, actually, you know what, that reason is reasonable, I accept that explanation, fine. And then you can begin to trust your government a lot more.
So we're going to save money on capital schemes. That's obviously going to save some money.
Yep.
But a lot of the capital schemes use Manx government workers, don't they?
Yeah.
Employees. So what's going to happen with them? Are you going to end up laying people off?
That's something I would really hope to avoid. Because, I mean,
everybody would hope to avoid redundancies, but
yeah.
You're a politician. You know, tough decisions are what we employ you for.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair comment. I think sometimes, this is what I'm saying, you have to really look at what's being spent. And I think people losing their jobs is the last thing that you want, but equally, it's the last thing. It's not something that shouldn't happen. If it should explore every other option, and if that's the only one remaining,
yeah.
Then you have to be willing to say, okay, this is going to happen.
Rather than just throwing a whole heap of people on the dole, are there not cleverer ways to work? I mean, have you considered maybe forming these direct labour organisations or cooperatives of people who are currently employed by government who could be hived off to run as a commercial concern and guaranteed a certain amount of government work, for example?
Yeah, that is definitely an approach that could be adopted, but it's something that really needs to be looked at. That's what I'm saying, when you need to look at where the money is being spent, they need to look at how it's being spent
yeah.
as well. And you need to decide whether it is better to have a government department doing this or whether it's better to have, like, quangos, like you're talking about the direct labour organisations, whether that is better to say, right, OK, set up a private company, we'll pay you to do the work, and it might save government some money in the long run.
What sort of opportunities exist for the Isle of Man? What could we do better, do you think, to make more money?
That's tricky. The island, it's got a lot of potential over here. I mean, you've got sort of a good finance sector, you've got other big industries over here like tourism, you've got a space industry. The island is growing and it is diversified. I think they just need to really push that a lot more, just to get as much over here as you can, more businesses and more work really on the island is the way to make more money.
I would imagine that the entire staff of the Department of Economic Development is listening to this and thinking, we're working as hard as we can.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we are pushing hard to try and get a new business. And it's easy for a candidate outside the system to look in and say, yes, everybody needs to work harder. Is it that simple?
No, I don't think it is. But I think they've done quite a good job. If you look at what's happening, we've not slid into recession like the UK. I think they've done a good job keeping the growth going. And I think as long as that continues, then the Isle of Man is definitely in a strong footing.
In terms of the mix between local and national politics, you're passionate about Ramsey, which is obviously an important thing for somebody who's standing as candidate for one of the seats there. But do you think that might cloud your interest in national issues? How do you see that sort of that join?
I think you could be right. I think it might definitely have an impact on decisions that you make at a national stage. I think the important thing to remember is that you've got my constituents would be the people of Ramsey,
yeah.
And it would be in my interest, obviously, to do the best for them. Now, whether that's a popular decision or not is obviously that's something I'm going to have to deal with.
Well, in Ramsey, it would be a very popular decision. I mean, if a business was going to relocate to the Isle of Man, you were a member of government and the decision was whether it was going to go to Ramsey or to Douglas.
Yeah.
You pushed for Ramsey because that's your job, that's your mandate from the people of Ramsey, but it turns out that that's the wrong decision. You know, it's a lot to have to stand up and take criticism for later, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's something that I have to be willing to do. If you are elected, you have to be willing to stand up and say, okay, I made a mistake. That's something that you have to be able to say that, and you have to do that when everyone does it at work, everyone does it in their daily lives, and I think you can't expect no more of your local politicians to turn around and say, hands up, shouldn't have done that, it won't happen again.
The more who do that, the better. I mean,
yeah.
I've got no problem with people making mistakes as long as they're not doing it all the time.
Exactly.
But I've got a lot of respect for people who hold their hands up and say, you know, yeah, I got it wrong that time.
Yeah.
As long as the other nine decisions they made that week were the right ones, then, you know, that's what we can ask for, really, I suppose, isn't it? Do you see this as a long-term career?
For me, I'm not in favour of what you'd call career politicians, people that get elected and then just keep getting elected. I think it's important that you work. I think it's important that you contribute to the economy. Like I said earlier, the government doesn't generate wealth. I think it's important that everyone should work at some level. And so I don't really want to make this my primary career. I'd love to get elected this time. I'd love to stand again, maybe do two or three terms, really contribute, really add something to the island, and then just carry on with my normal day-to-day life
yeah.
as a career.
Go
I think
back
that
to
would
accountancy.
Be that would be well. You say accountancy, maybe go back to something a little more interesting. But that's where I'd like to see my future going.
Well, from what you've said, you know, you could be a sort of a business guru type, a business doctor almost. The accountancy is a good basis for that, isn't it?
And I think
a bit
it is.
More
yeah.
interested in the counting beans. We're almost out of time, but Laurie Hooper, tell us why the people of Ramsey should vote for you on the 29th.
This should vote, really, because I'm going to bring new drive and new energy to government. And I really do have their issues at heart, and I really do want to get more involved with the local community, with the things that they want me to do, really. And at the end of the day, it's important to vote. I don't really think it's necessarily important who you vote for. I mean, I'd love it if they all decided to turn out and vote for me. That's definitely beneficial. But the important thing is they vote, especially now with the 16-year-olds can vote as well. I think it's important that everyone gets out and exercises their democratic rights.
Laurie Hooper, it's been lovely talking to you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much for having me.